Thank you. It's good to be here with you this evening. And for our scripture meditation, will you turn with me to the 10th chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 10. And we begin our reading in that chapter with the 9th verse, Acts chapter 10 and verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the 6th hour, that's noon, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Not so, Lord. It is a contradiction in terms. You can say, not so, or you can say, Lord. But you can't say, not so, and Lord. He is either Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. When the Lord Jesus told his disciples to go and preach, he told them to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe, and this is the way we translate it oftentimes, teaching them to observe some of the things which I have commanded you. But that is not what he said. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He gave to none of us the right to pick and to choose what ones of his commands we were to obey. And yet, we constantly do this. The Lord Jesus instructed his disciples, and he told them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I remember years ago studying the mistakes that Peter made, and I'm glad that Peter made mistakes, the outstanding apostle of the Lord's 12, because it teaches me this, that the Lord can use us in spite of the mistakes that we make. We're not called upon to make mistakes, but he does overrule our mistakes. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. I want to speak to you this evening of several instances in which Peter, in effect, said, Not so, Lord. This is the only instance in which he actually used those words. And there's only one other instance in the Bible when those words were used, and it's by Lot in Genesis chapter 19. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. Now, this man had a wonderful testimony when you think about it. Here he was brought up as a Jew, as a Hebrew, and he could testify that never in his entire life had he ever eaten anything common or unclean. And there were many things that they were not supposed to eat, and I'm sure that a lot of them cheated, but Peter could honestly say, I have never. It's a wonderful testimony this fisherman had. I have never in my life eaten anything that is common or unclean. But when the Lord showed him all of these animals, unclean fowls and birds let down from on this great sheet, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. He says, Lord, not me. Not so, Lord. And you know what I see in this? A picture of something that we all need to learn, because the Lord was teaching Peter a message in racial prejudice. Peter later on says to Cornelius, because this was sent by the Lord to teach him. He was to go to Cornelius' household, to this Gentile, and to share the gospel with him. And Peter, as he sat down at the table of Cornelius, said he had never been in a Gentile home before to eat a meal. He had never sat down at the table. That was just something that no Jew would do. And Peter had to explain later on, unfortunately, he carried six other Jews with him that could testify as to what had happened. Because they really had him on the carpet back in Jerusalem. And isn't it strange? The Lord had told these disciples, after he rose from the dead, this is what he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they hadn't even gotten out of Jerusalem yet. Several years had passed, and they were still sitting in Jerusalem, and we read in Acts chapter 11 that when they went to various places, they shared the word of God with no one except the Jews only. They were keeping it in the family. And you know, there's a real danger that we as Christians can try and keep it in the family, but we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They were told to begin in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And here they were sitting in Jerusalem. They had never gotten out of town. They had never shared the gospel with anyone. And God had to light a bonfire unto them to finally get them to do what he commanded them to do. You remember it tells us that after Stephen was martyred, there was a persecution, and it says the disciples, this is what it says, the disciples were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. But they just went sharing it with Jews. But they were going wherever they were scattered, but first to the Jews only. And then there's an interesting statement. It says, they all were scattered abroad. It says, save the apostles. All the 12 preachers that the Lord had told to go into all the world and preach the gospel, they were still sitting in Jerusalem. The Lord said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And here they were, sitting in Jerusalem. They were in effect saying, not so, Lord. But you know, when Peter finally arrives at the home of Cornelius, here were all these people, and boy, it must have been quite a meeting, because it says he had gathered everybody in, his old household, and a lot of friends that had the place packed. And what a wonderful statement, he says. Now are we all here, present, this is what he told Peter, before God, not before Peter, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Here we are. Now tell us what God wants us to do. What a wonderful set of people they were. No wonder God blessed them. Tremendous attitude that they had in connection with the Word of God. We're sitting here, and what we want to hear is all things that are commanded thee of God. Tell us. And Peter was just amazed. God had given him this message, you know, of sharing the word with the Gentiles, the wise Peter killing me. And this is the conclusion he came to. He said, of a truth, I perceive that in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. In other words, he said, we Jews don't have a corner on the market. It's not just for the Jews. The message is going out to the whole world. And one of the wonderful things is that we know that the Lord Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He didn't mean all men without exception, because all men are going to be saved. But he said, all men without distinction. It doesn't make a particle of difference with God what the color of your skin is. It doesn't make any difference what your social standing is. It says in Christ there is neither male nor female. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. In Christ, God sees us all in one. It says there's no difference. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And heaven is going to be filled with those whosoever will have realized their need of the Savior and have called upon the Lord, and he has promised that him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. No one will ever be able to blame God because they weren't saved. No one ever will be able to blame God because they didn't have opportunity. Because God's word says he's not willing that any should perish. He states it negatively, and he states it positively. God will have all men to be saved when they come to the knowledge of truth. And we know that all men without exception are not going to be in heaven. All men without distinction are going to be there. And the reason we know that is because the Bible tells us in heaven, this is a song we're going to sing. Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's the only way people are going to get there, because Christ shed his blood to redeem us. Out of every kindred, every tongue, every nation, every people, there's not going to be any tribe anywhere on earth that's not going to have some representative in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? God is no respecter of persons. Now I perceive that in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. In the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the Lord Jesus had borrowed Peter's boat. And he sat down in the boat and he taught. Told Peter after he got through, because the Lord always is no man's debtor. If he borrows your boat, he's going to repay you in some way. He said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down the net for a draft. And I can imagine Peter thinking to himself, he doesn't know anything about fishing, that's obvious. You know, in the Sea of Galilee, all the fish during the day, they go down where it's cool. At night, they come up where it's hot. I mean, because they go down to the surface, not they go down where it's cool. But at night, they come up to the surface. And if you're going to catch any fish, you have to do it at night. And he says, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We know when to fish. We were fishing there. Us four fellows were partners in fishing. We know a little bit about it. He didn't actually say that, but that's what he thought, I imagine. He said, you don't catch any fish during the day. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for grass. And Peter said, Lord, we toiled all the night. We hadn't caught anything, but nevertheless, at thy word, because you said, I'm going to do what you said, I will let down the net. The Lord did not say, net, he said, net. I'll let down the net. And it says they let down the net. And what happened was the net broke. And they had so many fish that they had to call James and John out with their boats. And it says they filled both the boats and they began to sink. And the message that I get out of that, when the Lord says to do something, partial obedience is disobedience. The Lord did not say net. He said net. You know, it's amazing how oftentimes God overlooks our weakness. Remember in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 5, you have the record of Naaman the Syrian. Now, Naaman was told to go and wash 7 times in Jordan. He didn't wash even the first time. He said he dipped 7 times in the Jordan. And I imagine he thought to himself, I'm going down there. This doesn't mean anything. This is a joke. Washing this dirty Jordan river, why we've got Albana and Potiphar, you know, in Damascus. Those are some clear waters, but this is a muddy stream. We're not going to get clean in this thing. And he goes down this 5th time. I guess he's about to give it up. Give it another try, 6. Nothing happened. Well, then he dipped it 7 times. He didn't wash once. He just dipped 7 times. God honored even that faith. Weak faith. God honored. Because he did it at least what God said 7 times. Partial obedience is disobedience. You remember that story in the Old Testament where Samuel arrives on the scene and Saul greets him. King Saul says, Lord says, Samuel says, I've done what the Lord told me to do. And the Lord had told him to completely wipe out the Amalekites. Men, women, and children, oxen, everything, for all to be wiped out. He comes on the scene and he says, you say you've obeyed the Lord? He says, well, what means this breeding of the sheep and this lowing of the oxen that I hear? Always says, well, I can explain that. kept them to offer them in sacrifice to God. That sounds nice. So it says, if God pleased with sacrifices like this, he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken of the fat of lambs. You know, the trouble with partial obedience is this. You can sacrifice and have your own way, but you cannot obey and have your own way. The minute you obey, you're saying, not my will, but thine be done. You know, Christians, we do that so often, all of us. We obey in part. I have heard Christians say this, I'll never forgive him. Hear anybody say that? I'll never forgive her. Well, what that is saying is this. Lord, I'll obey you, but not in that. You're Lord in some areas, but you're not Lord in this area. You're saying, in effect, not so, Lord. Not everyone that says Lord is necessarily really obeying the Lord. You can say the word, but if we're not obeying his word, and you know, one of the interesting things, when the Lord is speaking about the subject of forgiveness in Matthew chapter 18, you remember the story how he told that this man, one man owed a 10,000 talent debt. And his Lord forgave him that debt when he got down on his knees and said, don't sell my wife and property and my children. He says, and so he forgave him all that debt. And that same man, he goes out and he grabs his other man by the throat that owes him 15 cents and says, pay me what you owe me. And you know what the Lord said to him? Thou wicked servant. And what the Lord is saying is that if we do not forgive our brothers, we have been forgiven so greatly of God. We're wicked. That's what he's saying. Thou wicked servant. Not faithful servant. Thou wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt. And the scripture says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And if God has forgiven me my sins, for me to go out and grab another fellow by the throat and say, pay me what you owe me. What I'm doing is I'm saying, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and I never go anywhere. I never tell anybody. Now, is that a responsibility put only on 12 apostles? Or is that a responsibility of every Christian to share the word of God as God gives opportunity? I don't mean that we have to grab everybody by the coat collar, but as God gives us opportunity, the Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks for reason of the hope that is in you. And God gives us, to every one of us at some time in our lives, an opportunity to share the word. And there are people that you can talk to that don't even know me or brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. But God puts you right next to them. And you're in a strategic position. And God enables you. And so we shouldn't be staying in a situation like that. Not so, Lord. The Lord said, go and make disciples of all nations. I know many Christians that have never been baptized. Is that a command of the Lord? Is that one of his commands? He said, this do in remembrance of me. Is that a command or just a suggestion of the Lord? And you could go on through and cite many, many other instances in Scripture, but God would have us not to be just partially obedient. To choose what we will and will not obey. Now, there are instances in which we can say, not so, Lord. Instead of saying, not so, Lord, we say, in effect, yes, but. Yes, but. You know, the Lord said to one in his day, follow me, and said, Lord, suffer me first. Me first. Well, if I'm putting me first, then I'm not putting the Lord first. That's obvious. He says, suffer me first to go and bury my father. One man said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest, but let me first go bid farewell to them at home. Yes, but not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13-18, we have another wonderful illustration of this same thing where Peter, in effect, said, not so, Lord. The Lord had asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some said Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. Now, you read in the context, immediately after that, it says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem, be killed by the chief priests and elders and scribes, and the third day rise again. Now, here's Peter. And right again, he speaks up. He says, Lord, be it far from thee. Now, the Lord had just got through saying, I must go to Jerusalem. It's an absolute necessity I go to Jerusalem and be killed and the third day rise again. And Peter says, not so, Lord. Be it far from thee. And you know what the Lord said to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. Is this the fellow that the Lord just got through saying? Well, he said what he said, and he could only have known it because it was revealed to him by the Father, and now he's Satan's bounty. Well, you know, Peter learned a lot better than that. Imagine the most outstanding apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ actually opposing Christ going to the cross. That's what he was doing. Be it far from thee. He was actually opposing God's way of salvation. Because the only way that you and I can be saved is the fact that Christ went to the cross and suffered in our root and sin. But when Peter wrote his epistle, he learned a few things by that time. And you remember what he said? To his own self, there are sins in his own body and the tree. He wrote, Christ also at once suffered the sins just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's the only way we could get there. Because Christ went to the cross. He realized later he had made a mistake in saying, not so, O Lord. He said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In Matthew 26, we have another instance. It says, they sang a hymn and they went out. They had just, the Lord Jesus had just instituted the remembrance feast, and the disciples, they left, went to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said to them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Jesus says, not so, Lord. He says, though all shall be offended because of thee, yet will not I. Maybe the rest of these disciples, they're not quite as devoted to you as I am. They might fall by the wayside, but Lord, you're looking at number one here. He's not about to fall flat on his face. He's not about to deny thee. Though all men, he said unto the Lord, verily I say, verse 34 of Matthew 26, I say that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. He said, wait just a minute, Lord, you got me wrong. He said, though I shall die with thee, yet I shall never be offended. And within 24 hours, less than 24 hours, he denied the Lord three times. He said in John chapter 3, when the Lord said, you cannot follow me now, he says, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Well, he did later on, but not then. That wasn't God's time for it. You know what was Peter's problem? Pride. He thought he was a little kind of higher. Peter, after the Lord rose from the dead, he says, Peter, do you really love me more than these? You know, the rest of these. Are you the fellow that said, all men, Lord, he says, you know I love you, but I failed. I fell flat on my face. Pride goes before a fall. The humble man can't fall. If you're down low enough, you can't fall. But if you get lifted up high in pride, oftentimes God will let us fall flat on our face so we can learn a lesson. Peter had to learn the lesson. And I'm sure he never forgot it. Every time the rooster crowed in the morning, he remembered how he had denied the Lord with oaths and curses. In John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus arises from supper and he's washing the disciples' feet. Takes the basin, water, towel, he girded himself, and he washes every one of those disciples' feet, the dirty feet, Judas included. When he comes to Peter, Peter says, Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet. You know what he's saying? Not so, Lord. Thou shalt never wash my feet. He thought it was just absolutely unthinkable that the Son of God, here on earth, the one who we confess, the Son of the living God, should stoop down like a slave and wash his dirty feet. He says, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And the Lord said, well, if you don't wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. You can't have fellowship with me. And you can't have fellowship with Christ unless your feet are washed. You know, we're going through a dirty world. Don't you feel as a Christian when you come home at night all the time? You've been in the world, you feel kind of dirty. And the Bible says we're clean through the Word. If you read a little bit of the Word, you feel just like you've gotten a bath. The Word of God, it just saves us. It says Christ cleanses and sanctifies the church by the washing of water by the Word. And so he got down and Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And the Lord said, well, Peter, if you've been not a bath once, he that is bathed, he is not safe to wash his feet. You know, if you've been born again, if you've got the bath of regeneration, all that you need is but to have your feet washed occasionally. I don't mean literally. For the Lord said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And he said to his disciples, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. If I, your Lord and Master, if I not thought above me to get down and wash your feet, if I then, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, ye ought also, he said, to wash one another's feet. And you know, that's the job we all have. Every Christian. You know, it's not just to the elders and the assembly, not just to the shepherds of the flock. Every Christian has the responsibility of loving one another, of forgiving one another, of comforting one another, of edifying one another. That's everybody's job. It may be in a special sense, some individual's job more than others, but everyone has that job. We have the responsibility of caring one for another. That's what it means to wash one another's feet. We take the Word of God, and as God gives us the wisdom that we need, and we pray for that, we apply the Word, the water of the Word, to one another's feet. In Matthew chapter 17, the Lord is on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah speaking there with the Lord. They're talking about his deceit, Luke tells us, which he should, his exodus, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here, and if thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, the Lord didn't say to him, well, Peter, you know, I'm on a little different plane than Moses and Elijah. He didn't say to him, you know, it's God's purpose that in all things Christ should have the preeminence. They shouldn't be, he shouldn't be put on the same level with Moses and Elijah. He didn't say that to him, and he didn't need to say it. Because God opened the heavens to say, this is my beloved Son, hear him. God saw to it. Christ did not have to speak up. God opened heaven to say, give him the first place. And so often we give place to men. We give honor to men. We give honor to preachers or to some particular individual. And we need to know and recognize that whatever we do, we should give glory to God for it. He may use this servant and that, we glorify God for it. You know, when the disciples came back in the early church, they
They spoke of what God had done through them. Not of what they had done for God, but what God had done through them. They gave God the glory for whatever had been accomplished through their service. Well, in John chapter 21, here's another instance. Here's Peter and John, they're following the Lord. And Peter turns around and says, Lord, and what shall this man do? When we get to exercise about another brother or sister, what they're doing or not doing, we're really having them stand in the way of our view of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No matter what others are doing or what others are not doing, my business is to follow him. He said, Lord said to him, what is that to thee? You follow me, no matter what others are doing. Sometimes we feel that if we should get brother so-and-so straightened out, Lord, speak to my brother, like the man in the gospel said, speak to my brother, if we can get him straightened out, everything will be right, that he divide the inheritance with me. Or like Martha said, Lord, speak to my sister, she's left me alone to do all the work. She has chosen that good part, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But I remember an incident years ago here in Nassau. I was down visiting Brother Dewars at Dewars Department Store on Bay Street, and he told me this story. He said a couple, American couple, came in there one day, and they asked him, Mr. Dewars, said, could you tell us a good place to get a meal? Well, he said, there's a Chinese restaurant across the way, and he said, go over there, and I'm sure you could get a good meal. So they said, well, we walked by there, and the display windows were dirty. There were some cobwebs in there, and we thought, well, the meal wouldn't be a lot better than it seemed to indicate by the cleanliness of the windows. Oh, he said, I've been there many times, and he said, they serve a very good meal. I'm sure you'll be satisfied. So in the strength of his word, they went over. He watched them as they went across the street. And then he got to thinking. He said, you know, I wonder if my windows are clean. And he said he went out and he stood in front of his store, and he said he was surprised how dirty they were. They really needed a cleaning job. You know, sometimes we look out and we see the mold that is in our brother's eye, and boy, that really looks big to us. And we don't see the beam that is in our own eye. What is that to be? You follow me. There's an old spiritual that goes like this. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, Paul, when he was speaking to those Ephesian elders, he said, take heed to yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. But you make sure that you're right. Paul, writing the Hebrews, said, remember your guides whose faith followed, considering the goal of their conversation, Jesus Christ. They kept the Lord before their vision, and they followed him. And because they did that, they were really fit guys for the people of God. And we will, too. We keep our eyes on the Lord. And we need to pray every day, as we often sing, keep us, Lord, oh, keep us sleeping to thyself, and still believing till that hour of our receiving promise joys with thee. God forbid that in relation to any of the commands, or even the words of the Lord Jesus to us, we should say, not so, Lord. But may we say like Francis Ridley Havergal wrote, Master, speak, and make me ready. When thy voice is truly heard, with obedience, glad and steady, still to follow every word. Shall we pray?